You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Grede, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grede, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grede, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Who was worse, Goldberg or Ultimate Warrior?
Ty.
Who was worse?
Yeah.
Warrior was worse.
I think
Warrior
so, yeah. Worse, yeah. Okay.
Warrior was like, it was like, all right, man.
Warrior was worse.
I didn't like the Warrior, though.
Warrior was worse, but Warrior was probably a bigger star.
I don't think so. I don't know. You guys would know. You guys lived in both. Like, Goldberg was like that dude for a while.
That was a massive scenario with the streak and everything.
Yeah.
After was the Ultimate, streak was done.
There was a massive scenario because the dude on the other channel was getting over like crazy and they just happened to look like each other.
Goldberg was a big deal, though, too, when he got to bigger. WWE, no?
He wasn't a nobody.
Yeah.
But his first run in WWE, they killed him. Like, it was just trash.
That's what Vince did.
Well, yeah,
like,
yeah.
His first run was Vince just made him all garbage. Pay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You want to go against me, pal?
He made them all.
You're
pay.
Going against Gold Dust. And then you have a feud with Hurricane Helms. Hey, his first opponent was The Rock. It was just, it sucked. It was just so bad.
Hurricane Helms went over against The Rock once.
That's the shoot. He did. Yeah, he absolutely did.
I don't know, man. I don't want to say disrespecting, but that initial Goldberg with the streak, I'll give it all to him. He was selling out the Georgia Dome.
It was, sure. Yeah, it was. It was a moment like when he took that, when they kind of blew off that Hogan match and put it on TV like that. That was huge. Yeah. But it's a lot. Goldberg's like the Kings making the playoffs. Then what are you going to do?
It was over after that.
And they didn't really know what to do. Like he fought. Okay, it's Goldberg versus Diamond Dallas Page. It's yeah, Goldberg
it
versus.
Well, that was like his nose return too. It's like he does that thing with Brock Lesnar. That was cool. It's like, oh, you're still here. We'll just have you beat whoever.
It was over after that. But much like
the second run with Goldberg was actually pretty dope.
I don't even remember it.
Well, the one a couple years ago with Brock. Yeah,
when he almost killed Undertaker?
No, that was after.
That's the whole you're still here.
So
part.
They brought Goldberg in. I think he threw Brock out of the Royal Rumble, maybe. Mm. But they had a match where it was like Goldberg came out there and like destroyed
him. I think I do remember.
And then the only part that got like rough was where it was like, they're going to put the title on him and do the blow off at Mania. Mm. And they did it all right. Like, they didn't put Brock in the ring for a long time with Kevin Owens. They set up the thing with Jericho, worked perfect. Goldberg, and then they put Goldberg and Brock in the ring for less than 4 minutes at WrestleMania. They, you know, big trucks colliding, Brock got him, and that was the end of that. Then he came back and tried to kill The Undertaker.
Still need to go back and watch that, by the way.
I thought it was scrubbed from the internet, man. I tried to find it one time.
It's as bad as we describe.
It was awful.
I saw it on Taker's documentary, and it was like, oh, geez.
I heard about it before I watched it. And I was like, it couldn't have been that bad. And Taker, then I watched it, and I was like, oh, man.
Taker had almost had more near broken necks than Tombstone's that match.
When was the time when Goldberg, I thought this was pretty cool. I think it was at a pay-per-view, and he kept beating the hell out of Dolph Ziggler. Because he would, like, jackknife him, and then Dolph would get up. He'd be like, that's all you got? That's all you got? And he'd be
oh, that was part of that little run he did recently, too, I think.
That was that moment. That was pretty – because he beat the hell out of Dolph, like, four times. Like, would go up the ramp, then Dolph would be like, come on! Yeah. Come on! And he'd walk back down, beat his ass again. That one got me. That was a good one. Sacramento Kings, though. Bobby Jackson.
So Bobby Jackson got hired officially.
So, yeah, Goldberg's joining the coaching staff here, Del Christie's coaching staff.
Front of the bench is I think is about done. Mike Woodson, Bobby, and Barbosa. I think Barbosa will be on the front.
Yeah, good call.
That's not official. That's just
your guess. Yeah.
I think Barbosa will be on the front.
Yeah, so. I forgot he stayed. So you, I think we brought this up. I don't think you were here this day for some reason. Do you feel like, kids. And it can be, huh?
Kids.
Well, it could be completely unrelated to Bobby, but you said this a second ago. And do you feel like the Kings lean on 2001, 2, 3, like a little too heavy in their decisions? Again, this doesn't have to be related to Bobby. You kind of brought it up a second ago. But does that happen with this organization?
You know what?
Lade's here. Peja's at least around. Mike is not here, but he's here. Mm-hmm. He's around. Obviously, Doug is the coach. Vlade, I honestly think, runs the whole operation. Mm. And Bobby's here now.
But I think... So the people who are in charge of stuff and making decisions, you really have two, I guess. It's Doug and Vlade. And Doug made a decision to go get a guy that he trusts and he believes in his abilities in Bobby Jackson. And that's it. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. Paige is not – he's around, but he's not making decisions.
He was.
He was, but then they moved once, and even that was, I believe, Vlade being here and Vlade saying, "Hey, I want this guy." So I think it comes off as Vivek reaching back to those guys to try and get him to work, and that's not. I don't see it necessarily as that. I see it him as having the one guy that's in charge of whatever he's in charge of, and letting him put his staff together, whether it's front office when Vlade was here and the coaches with Doug Christie here right now, and they reach back to one or two of those guys. But it's really just it's Vlade, Doug, and Bobby. And once again, Bobby is somebody that has been part of this league for a while now. Mm-hmm. And he's got the respect of somebody like Nick Nurse wanting him mm-hmm. to be around mm-hmm. as well. So it's going to be viewed as getting the band back together. But I think Bobby, no disrespect to everybody else, he's the one that has ventured off and had more credibility around the league with others and now has come back home to Sacramento.
He was in Minnesota before mm-hmm. coming back to Stockton and then going to Philadelphia.
Doug played on the 2002 team as well, but is it fair to say Doug kind of came back the second time around rather than the Kings going and get like the way you guys
that's
tell it,
absolutely
yeah
true.
Like what you guys yeah, tell yeah. like Doug had a plan to kind of yep. end up where he's at now, so I don't think that's fair to Doug to say yeah he's here because of 2002 mm-hmm.
like, yeah Doug
had a plan, like he saw through.
Doug had a plan to be around,
right?
And yeah, I cannot say the man made pennies to work at 1140 mm-hmm. and it was just to be around the game again and to be around this franchise.
Like, Doug is here because of Doug Christie, not because he played on the 2002 Kings, basically, is what I'm saying. Like, Doug got here, I think, because T. Hick, probably whatever goals he had.
It is, but being Doug helped with the TV stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. like, I mean, you could not miss replacing Jerry Reynolds. Like, you couldn't afford to hire the wrong person when it was time for Jerry to you know, I think at first he slowed down his schedule a bit before stepping away. Doug was the perfect guy for that. I know Bobby's universally loved, but that role is not for Bobby Jackson. Mm-hmm. That role's for Doug Christie. And that, you know, him being Doug and the fans loving him the way that he did really helped in his transition to that role.
And I also look at all these guys that come back. Flotty was a first-time guy. He didn't do well. He was in over his head as general manager. Mm-hmm. So he didn't do well. But Doug and Bobby, just because they're guys that have ties to the past of the Sacramento Kings, mm-hmm. doesn't mean they don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think a lot of people view that when they go back to those greatest show on court players and bringing them back to the organization, they think that, or they perceive it as, they're bringing these guys back just because of nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Christie knows the game of basketball as good as Will Hardy does.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
Bobby Jackson knows the game game of basketball as well as, what was the guy that was in Milwaukee who's in Charlotte now?
Adrian Griffin? No, Charles Lee.
Charles Lee,
yeah.
Who people clamored over, right? Like if the Kings, before he was the head coach, if the Kings would have gotten Charles Lee mm-hmm. to be part of Doug Christie's staff, oh, well, that's a great hire. He knows mm-hmm. basketball. Michael yeah. Jackson knows basketball just as much as those guys do.
Yeah.
So, yes, there's some nostalgia to it, but these guys are
that's
still.
That's not why he's here.
No, yeah, these guys are still great basketball minds, in my opinion.
It's also worth pointing out, Bobby, I know we know our love of Bobby Jackson. Bobby's you pretty much like universally respected everywhere that he's been. Mm-hmm. New Orleans, I think it was New Orleans. It was that, I don't, might have been Oklahoma. I think it was New Orleans.
I thought it was New Orleans, yeah.
They loved him. They, the organization, they, the fans, like Bobby, it's not, as much as we want to believe we're special, it's not, Bobby's the special one. It's not unique to Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why my man was in Minnesota. Like, that's why Nick Nurse came calling. He is a, and I think it's fair to say, a universally respected individual.
Yep.
The way he carries himself, the way he conducts himself as a player, as a coach, as a man. Like, Bobby checks all those, as does Doug, Bobby checks all of those boxes.
And the way he can communicate with these players as well helps out with what I deem his success in these roles as well.
Organizations bringing guys back, too, isn't some foreign concept either.
No.
Like, you can go around and probably find one or two guys that used to play way back when and around the organization to some extent. Do you guys think it's just a matter of Vlade kind of just soured it all? With how he did, and everyone's like, oh, 2002, just
I think
everyone, like maybe subconsciously, everyone goes back to Vlade and the job he did, and maybe, like Casey said, he was a first-time guy kind of in over his head, and that's just always going to be in people's just the back of their minds. Do you think that ties into it? Because, like, if, say, Vlade doesn't even ever become the GM, they're fine or whatever.
I just think it's the organization more than it's Vlade. Like,
yeah.
If the organization had been more successful, it wouldn't feel like, oh, everything, like if Vlade had been great, or if good, if he had just drafted Luka,
yeah.
Like I don't the you know I think the narrative would be different. Obviously, the team would be different, and I think when something is bad, you just keep looking for reasons for it to be worse, and I think that's what some Kings fans do. Oh, it's bad. Oh, great. Now we're just bringing back more 2003 people. We can't get over it. I think it's just piling on something that's probably not even related.
And it doesn't matter because the results are the only thing that matter. But tell me if I'm wrong. Vlade, the plan wasn't for him to be the general manager, right? It was to come back.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports. Other days it's cooking. Or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
He was going to be part of the front office. But I think that wasn't the plan. They fired Pete. He stepped in. And then it felt like, I could be wrong, but it felt like they brought Scott Perry in. We're like, well, I don't really know. Like, this is a lot. I don't know. You bring Scott Perry in to help out with that, and you thought he was going to be there to help Vladdy along and maybe be the basketball decision maker on this stuff, and then he gets his dream job.
He's out, yeah.
And Vladdy's just like, well, that doesn't excuse you for not picking Luka or nothing, but that, I don't know if the plan was, Vladdy, you're the GM that's going to take us to the next level. A lot of stuff happened for it to get to that point.
We'll come back. Scott Perry's dream job did become available many years ago, and that is that of the New York Knicks, who are headed to the conference finals to take on the Indiana Pacers. We'll talk a little bit about that, because that Friday night crowd was everything that we thought it would be, and this conference finals is absolutely littered with young stars. Is that a good thing or a bad thing for the association? It's on the way here. Steelo and Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Oh, we're back. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm going to fix those, by the way.
No, it's all good. Nah. It's my bad. I was finishing my little protein bar here.
I didn't even catch it either. My bad, man.
Well, no, I was waiting for the guy. And now, back to, I was waiting for that. As he me. Who was it? Aldrin J? Mm-hmm. Who keeps bringing up Final Destination?
Aldrin J.
So, in Aldrin J's defense...
Did you watch that?
I do not like those movies. I saw the first one. That's not my bag. Mm-hmm. I don't have any desire to see it again. But I've heard that this version is different, and it is by far the best version of a Final Destination movie.
All right, so who's in your ear trying to push Final Destination propaganda?
That's what it is. That's right. Yeah, I'm in the pocket of Final Destination.
Yeah, who are you working for right here?
That's what it is.
Who are you selling for? Yeah. What the hell happened?
That's right.
What the happened to my friend D'Lo?
Yeah.
Bro, I saw the preview when I went to see, what did I see? Was it Sinners? I don't know. I saw the preview where the guy knocks over his beer. The glass breaks. It's in the grass, so you can't really see it. He steps on the broken glass, slips. It pulls the cord for a lawnmower to just start going, and the lawnmower rolls over. What? Who's telling you that it's different?
Sounds the same to me.
Crazy. The lawnmower just rolled over the man.
Isn't there?
It was
one,
at full speed too.
Chad, you tell me, isn't there one where like the lawnmower rolls over a rock and it takes someone out in one of the movies that way?
Come on, man. Yeah, you do.
I hope they're paying you well.
Wow.
I can only imagine. Me and Casey go to see this movie, and you're lying. You're gonna
it's
pay
the
for all
trauma.
Yeah.
Man, I'm just passing on what I heard.
Big Final Destination fan.
Big Final Destination propaganda here.
Wow.
Now, where you heard that from, are they a fan of the series? Like, they're like, oh, yeah, that's
no, it was just, it was more just like commentary that I was hearing. Like,
you were just calling IDMB that day, or?
What?
You were just calling IDMB? Rotten Tomatoes. D'Lo was on Rotten Tomatoes one night.
So stupid, man. All I was doing was trying to I was trying to defend Aldrin J, because you keep coming at him
well,
about
yeah, because 7 days. Final Destination. You guys need to go see that. We said it at the start. We're never going to see that movie, Aldrin. At least me and Jesse did.
It's facts. I guess Dan's going to go see it tonight at 6:30.
Oh, you know what you can do starting in July? This will be on KC's Corner later in the week, so sneak preview. In July, starting in July, AMC is cutting movie ticket prices in half on Wednesdays.
Okay, I think I've heard this.
I saw that too.
I think I've heard this.
They're trying to get people in the theaters.
This is for all movies, right? It's not one of those, oh yeah, come see whatever movie from 20 years ago for $10.
All movies on Wednesdays.
That's fire.
Starting in July.
About time. Give us the movie theaters back.
I like the movie theaters.
I do too, but it's like, I can go get a nice little dinner that night, yeah.
We've had this conversation before. Dame would pay extra if they just put it on a streaming service.
Correct.
I love the movie theater experience. I love movies. Like, that's my thing. So
they need to work on those popcorn prices, though. It's
yeah, that's the thing. We had to fix the prices to that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Why am I paying like $12 for licorice or Sour Punch straws or whatever?
Let's get
Jazz,
Kamara.
Bring the big purse.
Let's get Kamara in here because I think Kamara is going to be in California this week, but he's not coming to Sacramento.
Ooh. Yeah, man. I was actually excited. I'm coming down to the West Coast, you know, so I'm actually excited about that.
Only one person can get you out of here.
Yep.
It ain't me.
Hey, listen. If the Kings would have made the playoffs, I would have came out there, but you know.
Oh, that's a hell of an if, pal. That's a hell of an if.
To nerd out for a quick second, just to answer your question, Jesse. So the way theaters make their money is that they only get a portion of the box office sales, and therefore they have to charge an upsell on concession prices because that's where they get a lot of their income. So that's why you see $12 licorice and $24 popcorn bowls, because these are actually essentially small businesses that really they can't really make money off the theaters because the gross money goes into the distributor and the movie theater and obviously other P&A and all that other stuff.
Well, they just need then just close down then because they don't need to be charging me $45 for. Well,
damn, soda I was going to be pop. Like, I'll get two licorices then, but you said to close down.
Yeah, come on, man, find the money. I'll pay full price on the movie. Do something else. I can't be spending $17 for a medium popcorn.
Oh man, you spend more than that on your fancy shirt, buddy. You know, you're going to help small that's businesses
facts.
Out.
That's facts.
But yeah, that's why facts. That's why I'm going there on Wednesdays.
Hey, do you know, we make jokes about, like, each other's bank account. Do you know this man, Kamara, bought tickets for Kendrick Lamar on Friday and was like, you know what? Never mind.
Okay.
I'm going to buy tickets to the show on Saturday.
Wow. What do you do with the ones on Friday?
Just has them.
I just have them. Listen, I'm trying to get rid of them. And if I don't get rid of them, I'll sell them back to, like, Ticketmaster. I got until like tomorrow to sell it back to Ticketmaster for like $500 each. I don't really want to. I'd rather make a profit, but if I don't make a profit, I'll just sell it back to Ticketmaster or whatever.
Look, man, I knew it was different. I knew it was different when he said, I'm going to see Beyonce in London.
Well,
no, I didn't say London. I didn't say London.
Who'd you say in London?
I think it was Toronto.
He saw somebody in London.
I think he saw Beyonce in Toronto.
I saw her in Toronto, yeah.
Who you see in London?
I haven't seen anybody in London. I've been to London four times. I haven't seen anybody in London.
I'm just trying to get there once. Jeez.
Said four times.
If I get there once, it's a good life. This guy's been there four times.
Well, he's got to check on his property out there.
True.
Hey, listen, hold up. Hey, hold on. Damien, if we could do a guy's trip to New York, would you be down?
Oh, absolutely.
Steakhouses, things of that nature?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd have to save up for that trip. That's a rich trip.
Yeah, I want to.
That's why he asked Damien, not that. Me.
Well, you're more than welcome to come. I really want to do it. Actually, what started this, and this ties into your show, what started is because I was talking to some friends. I'm like, man, we really should have gotten some Knicks playoff tickets. And we saw the tickets weren't that bad a price.
Huh?
They were like starting at they were like 500 to like 1500. 500 like upper bowl, 1500 lower bowl. But I'm like, that's a pretty good price to be in Madison Square Garden for a playoff. So maybe he said, there's a good chance that Knicks will be in a playoff next year. Let's make a plan to buy Knicks playoff tickets next year and make a weekend of it. Like we go on a Friday night game, Saturday night game, and then we spend the weekend in New York. Are you down for that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I mean, so.
Mark. No, I'm laughing. Hold on, man. He said $500, $1,500. That's not bad. What?
So, we got to get out. Okay, hang on. I want to make sure I got your plan laid out correctly. We got to get out to New York.
Yeah.
And we're gonna go to a Knicks playoff game.
Absolutely.
You know I'm down. Okay. You know I'm with it.
But hold on, let's map out the night. Here's how the night maps out. Perfect. You got it? So we go to a Knicks game, and it ends around like probably 10 o'clock. We can go get a late night dinner, then we end up at a rooftop, right? And chill. It could be an amazing night, bro.
Kamara, it'll be fantastic. Let me ask you a question.
Do I have to sell my house?
How much is this night going to cost us individually?
That's a good
question. This night.
That's a good question, Kamara. Before you answer, remember, you have sent us your receipts before.
Well, here's the way I look at trips. Here's where I look at: once you pay for the tickets, that doesn't go into the night budget. That's already
no. That's part of the night budget.
That's not part of the night budget.
And that might end up being the cheapest part of the night.
Casey, you once said once you pay for tickets, you heard out of your own mouth. You said once you pay for tickets, you don't even think about the price anymore.
No, that wasn't. No, that's not true. That's not close. What he said. He said once you pay for anything, you don't think about the money again. Tune in to D'Lo and KC for financial advice from the estate attorney that's on the phone.
Kamara, count me in for the trip, but I won't be making one of the events, one of the appearances I won't make. I got to cut one of the four out.
That's not true. Listen, you can afford a nice night in New York, man. You can afford a nice night.
That's a great place to have a nice night, too.
Hey, I'm telling you. So
keep us updated. Boy, that ticket price for that Knicks game, Jesus Christ!
They said $500 to $1,500.
Keep us posted,
it's
Kamara.
Not that bad.
Good luck with the Kendrick tickets. I did think for a minute, like, man, maybe we'll go to LA too. But we're hosting Exhibit on Friday night, so we're not doing that.
What you doing Saturday?
Well, Kamara's going Saturday.
Yeah, you can meet Kamara down there.
Well, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going.
Oh, you
I'm
mean
going,
get his tickets?
Yeah, I was going to get his tickets and go Friday. Help my man out, have the tickets, be good. But we have a big night Friday at Concerts in the Park.
X to Z.
And then I'll see Kendrick the next week. So,
that was just called the flex on all
that
of us.
That was wild.
Yeah, that was the richest call.
I mean, I knew.
He knows.
I love my brother. I know he was doing well, but Jesus Christ.
Right. Well, let's map this out. He wouldn't do it, so let's map this out. $1,500 for the Knicks tickets.
Okay, let's be clear. We're talking $1,500 at minimum.
At minimum. Yeah, because he's talking about lower bowl, all this other stuff.
It took me a second when he said, would you be down for it took me a second. He means right now. He doesn't mean like, hey, fellas, let's map this out. Maybe we do something later in the summer.
Well, no, he did say next season.
Oh, okay.
He said we missed the boat this year.
Oh.
Let's prepare for next season.
Okay.
But still.
Okay.
$1,500 for the Knicks tickets. He said you want to go out to eat. I mean, we're not going to TGI Fridays in Times Square. So $300
$300
a piece?
We're talking
five?
Not a piece. Not a piece.
I think 300 a piece
probably.
So now we're at like 1,800.
We go to, I mean, you go to the next game, you go to Brooklyn Chop House afterwards. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you. Mm-hmm.
So now we're at 1,800.
You're not at the rooftop yet.
That's a $2,000 to $2,500 night.
And that you haven't counted your room.
No, I hadn't counted the room. You're
or
right.
The flight.
You're right. We got to get somewhere while we're out there. We ain't just gonna be walking everywhere.
It's about. Yeah, like
it's a $5,000 trip.
I was going to say, it sounds like a trip to hang with Kamara is going to cost us about five.
And that's the one night.
And you can't show up looking like the poorest person there.
Yeah. That's
so
one
tack
night.
On another $1,000.
What about the next night? We're still there.
Got to eat. Well, you don't have to eat as expensive, but you're in New York, so it's going to be expensive anyway.
I'll be getting them papayas on the, on the street.
We're talking a roughly I'd go $5,000 to $6,500 night to hang out with Kamara. That's crazy.
That is so rich. That is so rich.
Bro, we have like so much. I'm not like the travel expert, like, and I should be at this point in my life, but I'm not. We decided at the last minute, we're going to Vegas to see Kendrick. And anytime I go to Vegas, I try to see multiple. I always hope timing works out to see multiple things. Mm-hmm. Friday night is Janet Jackson's second to last night of her residency. Her last night is Saturday. That's Kendrick at Allegiant. Mm-hmm. So I was able to, I didn't even know the show existed. I think they had just announced the last weekend. So I was able to get tickets to the residency that Friday night. Like Ticketmaster prices, not like resale good prices, look. Like yeah. Able to get really good tickets. Kendrick, SZA, Saturday. And so we were flying back Sunday. Katie was like, hey, how hard would it be to like change our flight? I was like, well, I don't know. I don't imagine it's that hard. We'll pay whatever the fee is. She was like, okay, I got us Hamilton tickets. Hamilton is touring. I was like, dope. So now we've got this weekend where it's Janet, Kendrick, Hamilton on Sunday, and then Sunday night we'll go to Cirque du Soleil and see Maxon One. Ooh. Which, when I'm in Vegas, I gotta do that. See it two or three times. I rebooked the flight, and they're like, "Dude, this is Delta. Hey, salute. They're not paying me for this."
Yeah,
I booked the flight through Delta. I went to rebook it to fly home Monday morning instead of Sunday morning. Oh, good for you. The flight's $300 cheaper, and gave me the money back.
Damn,
bro, that wasn't even the craziest part. Went to the resort spot. Went to book through the card, and hey, we're extending it a day. Staying an extra day was $574 cheaper. Oh my goodness. Extended the trip to Vegas by a day and wound up getting like $800 back.
That's crazy.
And I started doing I think that has something to do with like the way hotels and airline, like they want you to stay for like the weekends and fly during the week. And so those are the incentives, which I guess I just didn't know enough about. And man, we extended the trip by a whole day and got $800 back. I was excited about staying in Vegas. I was excited about Hamilton and all that. When they told me... when they told me we were getting a total of $800 back, boy, I almost cried. I was like, that covered the cost of all the extra tickets. Oh,
Dave was like, he was like Isaiah Thomas. After, heaven must be like this.
I was like magic looking into the camera. Yeah. Yeah.
I was so excited.
Oh, that's a good look. That is a real good look.
So I guess pro tip, don't do the 3-day joint. Make it four. Mm-hmm. And you know, your partner gotta cover you for you while you're gone, but make it four.
This all good. That's 10 times out of 10, I'll be like, hey, do that.
Got this whole trip, two concerts, 4 total shows, and it'll still be cheaper than one trip to see Kamara.
Oh my. Kamara, I didn't thought about it some more. We might be at like 6,000, bro. There's a lot that you
got to
do.
We got a year to plan for this. We got to save. 6, Jesse, 000. You in?
No.
Okay. All right.
Oh, man. Good times, though.
That's funny. Times. Kenny and I and Jesse, we joke. It's all a bit. No, Kamara's rich.
Yeah.
Like Kamara, Elijah,
like
and Miss P. They're rich.
I was calculating how much of my wedding that would cover.
Oh man.
Shout out to Kamara though.
Shout out to Kamara always.
Now
not that bad though. Like you said, not that bad.
When he said $1,500, it's not that bad.
Not that bad. Again, that's why I point out the man has sent us receipts before. Like, oh, bro. But I get the desire to want to be in New York because that Friday night was every single thing. I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but I know the Garden is going to be insane. Mm. And it was essentially
No, we're all good. We can talk. Hey, we're fine.
It was essentially a four-quarter party. Mm. I think from the moment Karl Anthony Towns hit that three,
you knew what it was.
Once again, I said it in the text. That's top five funniest guy in the league. Hey, he's hilarious.
Karl Anthony Towns is funny for 15 different reasons.
Everything they say about Jason Tatum, that's what Karl Anthony
Towns is. Hey, I think you're right.
All the lies about Tatum, that is Towns.
It's original. No. Tatum be taking the
catch just originally corny.
Corny's corny.
I saw that clip they played. I was watching the interview and he goes, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Shout out, you know, Crown Heights. You know, Washington Heights, you know what I mean? Rucker, you know what I mean? On a Sunday, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have been able to make it. And I sat there and said, aren't you from Philadelphia?
Bro debuted his third voice.
I said, aren't you from Philadelphia? Where's this accent coming from? You've been there 7 months.
I think he had a Minnesota accent at one point.
Yeah, he started saying, Rucker Park, Rucker Park.
We gotta play that clip. That clip. We gotta play that clip. I gotta find it.
In the first 6-7 minutes of that game, Cat was unhinged.
Absolutely,
he was a crazy man. And then that three that you talked about, he had like gone crazy.
Yeah,
made fouls, yeah. Missed layups. Then he hit the three, and then he.
Yeah, that was wild.
Like I said, you knew what it was. Hey, I told Crystal like the same quarter. Hey, you want the remote?
But to your point, so before the game, I was saying, I was like, man, it's a Friday night in New York. If they win this one, it's going to be crazy in New York. It was 5 times crazier than I thought in my head at that time. That place was a madhouse.
They had guy people hanging on the video boards outside and all that. they won something.
Like, that was crazy.
That dude took a video too from his like point of view. It's like, wow, look at New York.
We always talk about like the Kings, the playoff series, the game one, mm-hmm. and then even when they won game six against the Warriors and how crazy it was. Somebody had took a video of Doko after game six. They had won. There was a lot of people in Doko after they won. And I was like, yo, this is crazy out here. And then somebody took like a little aerial of like 7th Ave on Friday night. And it was, I know it's New York and Sacramento, it's apples to oranges, but there was so many people down by the garden somewhere for a second round victory.
Well, if they win,
that was crazy.
If they win the title, it might look like Vancouver that one night they lost.
Oh, man. Yeah, they're going to go crazy if they win the title. That was something else. Nah, look at my boy. Look at my
boy. Hold on. This isn't.
You know, to all my brothers that was with me at Rucker Park, all the brothers that was with me in all those AAU games in the tri-state, especially in New York, I dedicate to this to them. All the brothers that was with me in all those AAU games in the tri-state, especially in New York.
Man.
I gotta let me see if I'm just if maybe I'm missing something. Okay, now I'll give him a little bit. I think I maybe had something wrong. He grew up, I think, in the Philly, Pennsylvania. He was born in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give him that.
They don't
he is from that. I thought he grew up in
no, it doesn't matter where he Jersey. Grew up. He's never spoken like that in his life. He's been in the league a decade.
He didn't talk like that.
He didn't talk
like that in game five or game four.
Wait a minute. Hold on again. What do you say? You know, Rucker Park.
Hold on.
You know, to all my brothers that was with me at Rucker Park, all the brothers that was with me in all those AAU games in the tri-state, especially in New York, I dedicate to this to them.
Come on, man.
And this guy, Cat, is hilarious, man. Come on, man. He's hilarious. That dude was
funny. It does
when he was just a wild maniac for the first 6 minutes and then hit a three and then said, it's in my veins. I'm like, all right, this dude calm.
I think the score was like.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
19 to 16 when he did it.
And I remember thinking, it's over. The garden is an absolute madhouse.
That place was crazy, man. They had so many different
Hold on. We got
more cat.
I think we got a let's this. He's got a Timberwolves jersey on. Let's see what this sounds like.
Okay.
This is what movies is made of. This is what movies is made of. 4 months away, I come back, 2 free throws. Don't worry about it. I got that.
It's crazy, cuz.
Okay. Oh, hold on. What is this?
After all that, they took him off the court to put him even closer.
Oh, that can't be his voice. Come on, man. That's got to be the internet. Come on, man. That's got to be the internet.
Oh, that's cat.
Oh, my God. I just searched Carl Anthony Towns. Interview.
He's got 4 different voices at least.
The funny thing is, like, everybody saw that interview. It was like, hold on, man. Hold on. When did he become this guy from Queens?
Mm-hmm.
By Rucker Park.
Let's see what he sounds like in this. And
usually
one.
In NBA history, it says you have to lose.
Oh, no. Nah, that's okay. Carl Anthony Towns. Let's see what this one sounds like. Let's see what Cat sounds like in this one. Oh, that's
New York.
He's
but he's adjusted to New York at that time. He turned into a New Yorker in the last 6 months. Yeah, he got the accent down. He's got the cadence, you know.
I wish I could find him like talking to. Oh, here he is. He's talking about New York in this one. Oh, good. God, Dunkin' Donuts commercial. That's terrific.
They got confetti cake.
They got confetti cake. Oh, that's a crumble cookie commercial.
Well, we don't know. We ain't. Yeah, no.
See the thing is, you looking on social media. I ain't.
Okay. So you don't see.
Hell nah.
How excited they are. I'll tell you. Fans are elated. You got people that are weak.
Yeah.
Are winning. Just the type of pride you guys have in giving that feeling back to the city.
I mean, that's all it's about. Like I said, you know, home or away, we know we repping the city anywhere we at with that jersey.
It's heavy New York.
He didn't turn into me.
We always want to make our city proud. We want to make the fan.
Yeah, he didn't turn into me.
He ain't as bad as Ebro.
Ebro. That El Camino was not saying, yo.
I listened to Ebro like, Ebro, we went to the same high school, dog. Now, granted, he's lived in New York a long, long time.
At this point, longer than he lived in Sacramento, huh?
Yeah, I would think so. I met him. I remember I was at his goodbye party. That had to have been 20 years ago.
Yeah, I'm about to say he'd been up there.
It had to
have
been 20 years ago.
Shout out Cat, though, baby. Hey, we got more Knicks talk coming back, baby. All my people out there in Rucker Park, Washington Heights. You know what I'm saying? Shaolin. Shout out to my boy Tyrone. I know you hyped out there, fam. Hey, we got more Knicks talk coming back. We got more Knicks talk coming back. Don't you wish you were the Knicks? Don't you wish you were the Knicks? Give a quick shout out to our guy, Pete Youngman. Talked about him earlier. Big shout out to Pete Youngman.
Go see
he's
him.
He's back. Oh. No, luckily I don't.
Went to go see him
hopefully
again.
I don't have to see Pete in that respect at all. I'm praying. But he was back in the city this weekend. Mm-hmm. You know how I knew he was back in the city, right? He didn't have to do nothing. He didn't have to say no words. He just posted a picture.
Oh, did Pete post the stupid-ass rabbit?
Yeah, man. That's no words needed. We know what time it is when you put the picture on social medias. You're back in the city.
I will fly out of Sacramento and fly back into Sacramento.
Katie will do it.
I will not allow her. Put your phone down. Don't even think about it.
Katie will do it for the people.
She won't. No, she won't.
She'll do it for the people. That's what the people need, man. We need to know when
you're
back.
Nobody needs that picture.
We know what time it is. When Pete's back, he knew what to do.
We can make a wager one day, and that would be the bet. I have to take a picture of that stupid-ass rabbit if I lose.
Knicks win the championship.
Nah, because I don't think that's crazy. I wouldn't believe in that bet. Like,
I think, a picture of the rabbit.
put a Knicks jersey on the rabbit. Start talking like this. Hey, yo, son, get the rabbit a Knicks jersey.
Get him some Tims. Put some Tims on the rabbit. Oh, man.
Yeah, like, this finals is wide open, man.
It is.
I mean, this conference finals, I mean, Brunson, Ant, Jay Will, Shea, Tyrese.
We think that anyone, if OKC gets to the finals, the Pacers, the Knicks, they can hang with them?
If what?
If the Thunder get to the finals, you think the Knicks and the Pacers can hang with them?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't see OKC the way everybody else does. Well, I shouldn't say everybody else. I think the insiders see them a certain way. Like, they were talking about it earlier, and they were like, yo, that's what they needed to get over the hump. Like, they arrived. They beat the hell out of Denver. Mm. I give respect to Denver. You know, I've done that a lot. But even in that game seven, they were playing with, like, maybe two and a half guys out there. And that's not the Thunder's fault. Thunder did what they were supposed to do in that situation. But I didn't look at the Thunder and like, okay, here's the unstoppable force. I actually think Minnesota's going to win that series.
Yeah, I wonder how, like, a struggle like with how much of OKC is a sleeping giant at this point, or they're just not really impressive right now.
Yeah, I mean,
they were playing good ball all season long, and it's like they haven't. I mean, Memphis, yeah, they took care of business, and then against the Nuggets, that was a little tough.
Even with Memphis, they messed around with that team. Like, some of the things that we talk about were like with Minnesota, sometimes like how they like didn't put the Warriors away, but they won the game, like. Mm-hmm. Memphis needed to come back from down 25, needed a buzzer beater, not a buzzer beater, but like the Minnesota, Memphis to miss a buzzer beater to win game three. Same thing in game four with no Ja. And then you have this Denver series where they just couldn't shake those guys. Mm-hmm. I think OKC is a
– breaking news. The four-time All-Pro linebacker Fred Warner of the 49ers reached an agreement on a three-year, $63 million contract extension. That includes over $56 million in guaranteed money.
Come on, man.
First and that foremost, from Schefter.
First and foremost. Look, we beat NFL Live. They ain't even got it. First and foremost.
Well, it's true. Jesse didn't report that.
I did right now. I reported breaking.
I'm going to say it per Jesse Tapia.
Breaking. I'm reporting what Adam Schefter tweeted.
per Jesse Tapia.
Yeah, that's there true you story. Go. True story.
I got to, first of all, poor Kyle Madsen.
Kyle, pull over.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Kyle.
Well, Kyle.
Poor Kyle was at a graduation on Friday.
Well, look, today he was like, hey, you guys were on the air when the Brock Purdy news broke. I was like, yeah. He's like, yeah, that's great. I wish it would have happened during our show. And I said, well, don't worry. The Fred Warner news, it might happen during the Insiders tomorrow.
No.
And
hopefully he's at least still doing his podcast. Are they still recording Candlestick
Chronicles? Oh, he's here right now. Yeah, I forget. Yeah. He's here right now. Never mind. Yeah, yeah,
hopefully he's still. Oh, wouldn't that suck if they just finished? Oh, either way, this scenario sucks for Kyle.
Poor my guy, Kyle.
Oh, that's so bad. I'm going to flag him down when he walks by. He's probably fuming right now.
I'm basically a news aggregator now, right? That's like a lane people have.
Yeah. Tweet it out so I can put it on the graphic. I can put your tweet on the
I got you.
3 years, $63 million contract extension, $56 million in guaranteed money makes him the NFL's highest paid linebacker. I believe correct me if I'm wrong, the original straw that stirs the drink? Is that wrong?
I think you're right. Let's just say yeah, because I've always felt that way about. Well, I've always felt that way about Fred. I've always felt that. It might have been De'Aaron. But
okay.
That drink went sour, huh?
Wow. Well, that soda went flat.
That drink was tossed that one out.
It's a damn paper straw. I tell you about that.
Mm-hmm. But Fred is him.
Yeah.
This is.
Yeah, I agree.
Personally, I'll speak here. This is one of my favorite 49ers of all time.
Yeah.
Number 54. That is my man's. He embodies everything that you would want in a leader, in a captain. I hope they can get him. I'm trying to think about it. Yeah, I hope more than anybody, more than anybody on this roster. No disrespect, because I have a lot of guys that I like on that roster. But as a fan, I'm speaking here. More than anybody, I want them to get a ring for Fred Warner.
Okay.
He deserves it. He is the straw that stirs the drink. And this is well deserved. I think, you know, there's arguments that can be made, you know, for others. Linebackers, I think Fred Warner's the best in the game. I think he has been for the last 3-4 years. And to be the highest paid linebacker in the game is much deserved. Hopefully this is also another step to have him retire as a 49er.
Mm-hmm.
I think him, Kittle, those two guys, this should be their final stop in the NFL, in football, is being a 49er.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy for them. I'm glad they got it done. And this offseason is a lot different than last year's offseason.
Yeah, it sure feels like it. Nah, it feels like it. So, Warner, Kittle, Brock, it's May 19th. All of that stuff is done. What does, if anything, that tell you about the 49ers or the 49ers' approach to next season? Because correct me if I'm wrong, we went in, you went in, and I think a lot of 49er, you know, maybe fans and even analysts went in with the idea, you know, the window might have closed. You know, we're going to see some change. How big of a change will we be? I wasn't sure Kittle would be back. Mm-hmm. I felt confident Fred Warner would be back. I didn't think you could afford to lose him. I wondered if you were going to maybe look at something with moving on from Nick Bosa, but clearly that's not happening. Contract extensions have been put in place for Warner, Kittle, Brock, the three of the most important players on the roster. Mm-hmm. You've had turnover elsewhere that John Lynch acknowledged. Yeah, we're going to try to address all of that stuff through the draft. And again, none of this... If mistakes were made last season, none of them were repeated this season, or off season, I should say. Mm-hmm. Does that tell you anything about what their thought is or their approach is to this upcoming season?
It felt like this off season, even going back as far back as the draft and their approach to the draft, is let's get back to basics.
Mm.
Let's get back to what made us a championship contender, one of the premier franchises during that time in the NFL. And you handle business defensively in the draft. You get back to the trenches and you look at that. And now you look at the roster of guys that you do have. And I'm not trying to talk crazy about anybody, but it was, let's get back to empowering our leaders and making sure they feel secure and put them in a spot where their main focus is leading this team.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, it's football, not talking crazy about anybody. But last year, we talked about it a number of different times. Money was a bigger focus than winning. For a Trent Williams, for a Brandon Ayuk, guys like that. And to a certain degree, I understand it. You got that close to the Super Bowl. You lost again. The year before, you lose an NFC Championship game. You had those guys with 2-3 years of really – you lost two times in the NFC Championship game – really pushing it to the limit. And I can see a Brandon Ayuk, who's a first-time free agent. And I can see a Trent Williams, who's getting later into his career towards the end, saying, look, I want to win, but this is my opportunity to cash out. Like, we have reach the brink. It's not going to happen with like right now. Mm-hmm. You know, this upcoming season is what I was talking about. It's not going to happen. Let me get paid. Mm-hmm. Like we're done. Like as far as this season that just passed, we're done. Like we can't, we don't have no more in the tank.
Sure.
Let me get passed let me get paid before I get out of here. That was the mindset in the summer last year. Had a tough season, had, you know, injuries and blown leads and all this other stuff. Almost like a mental, emotional reset for this offseason. This offseason is, all right, we kind of moved on from some of the guys that we needed to move on from. We committed ourselves to Brock Purdy, and now we're looking at our leaders, Fred Warner, George Kittle, each on opposite sides of the football. But let's let them know we want you as 49ers forever, and let's build from within and have those guys lead everybody else around them. And between the three contract extensions and the guys they gave them to, I think it was more of a retool, reset of the way that this program has been built by John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. I love it. I think it's great. I think they're getting back to winning being number one with the way they've handled this offseason.
Of course, everything centers on the quarterback position, and Brock Purdy signs his contract extension on Friday. A massive, massive contract extension to the tune of $265 million, and much of that has been broken down. Of course, the contract hasn't officially been signed, so we don't know all of the details, but we did start to get some details trickling out over the weekend, including we already knew about the 181 guaranteed. We knew about the 165 over the first 3 years, but it appears there's a no trade clause in here as well. Now, that, remember, this isn't the NBA, so that's probably not as like eye-popping as it might seem. Because, one, we don't have the full details of the contract. But what was the number? Was it 5 years? Yeah. Was the extension? In most cases, a five-year contract is almost certainly a three-year contract without starting to appear after that, which is why you're getting the 165 number so frequently. $165 million guaranteed in the first 3 years. So they're really locked into Brock Purdy the first 3 years. That other 20-ish, less than 20-ish million guaranteed, that's probably somewhere in the fourth year where if he's on the roster at a certain point and you go from there. But that's generally when contract negotiations start to happen and things get torn up.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now. And what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. We got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.